Well, today is Father's Day, and I want to share this morning something fresh, I think, from a very familiar passage. And although it's really aimed at fatherhood, it really is applicable to mothers, anybody that has children in their care. Because I want us to look at a story that Jesus told, and it just shows us how God deals with his children and how we as parents should deal with ours or with anybody that's in our care. And we're going to take God as our prime example as we go through this passage. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to turn with me to Luke's Gospel chapter 15, Luke 15. This is a very familiar story, and I'm not going to take the time this morning to go through and read it, but we'll just go through a little at a time. The story of the man who had two sons. Here's the story about the man with two sons. You know how one of them went off into a far country. He took all his father's, all the possessions with him, and he went and wasted his life with prodigal living. And then when his money ran out, he thought it was necessary that he needed to get a job in order to pay for to live, really. And he took a job which was not the best job. He took a job which was feeding the pigs. And those of you know that for the Jew, this was an abomination. And he sunk right to the depths. But then in the depths, he made a decision to come back to his father. But we're not going to look at the son this morning. We're going to look at the father. And I've got some points I want to bring out this morning about the father. How the father treated his sons. So it says in this scripture, in verse 11, Luke 15, verse 11, it says that Jesus teaching this parable. Then he said to them, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. I want you to notice one thing in that verse, verse 12. The young son comes to his father and he says to his father, give me what is rightfully mine. Or what will be mine, my inheritance. And I want you to see the action of the father. It says he divided his livelihood. He divided his inheritance. And he gave it to them. He divided to his two sons his whole inheritance, his livelihood. You know, one thing this shows about a godly father is that a father is fair. This father divided his livelihood between his two sons equally. He showed no personal favoritism to the eldest, neither did he show any favoritism to the youngest. Even when he knew that the younger son was taking advantage of his good nature, he still acted honorably and did what was fair. You know how we need today to be fair. Learn the lesson of God the Father. God is fair. He shows no personal favoritism. In actual fact, we're all his favorite. I'm his favorite. But then so are you. We're all favorites. And God always acts honorably towards us. He never tries to cheat us or deceive us. He is honorable and fair. So, that's point number one. He's a fair father. And as fathers or mothers or those with anybody, the children in our care, the grandparents, you know, we must be fair and honorable. But then we see something else about this father in verse 13. Because it says, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Here we see, all this verse tells us is about what the younger son did. But what we actually see here, something about the father. Have you noticed that the father releases the son? He lets the son depart and go. Now, he may not have agreed with the choice that his son made, but still, he let him go. He didn't try and interfere with the son's free will and choice. He let him go. And in releasing him and letting him go, he allows the son. Or you might think this is heartless, but he allows the son to make his own mistakes. Why? So that he can grow and develop. And if we keep hold and don't release, we stunt growth. And we see God, do you know, this is the perfect picture of God here, because the Father releases us to make our own choice, our own decisions, to go our own way. And if we're happy going that way, he will not interfere. He lets us make our mistakes so that we grow and develop. But there's something else. Do you remember what happened to the son when he was in the depths and he was in the pig pen? And he was just, you can just picture this picture. There he's sitting in the pig pen and he's looking the pig in the eye and he's saying, this is for you or for me. Because that's the depth he went to. You know, even willing to eat the things that he was feeding the pigs. And then he comes to this conclusion. I'm just going to jump ahead to verse 18. We're going to go back again in a second, but here he says, in the depths of his despair, he says, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Do you know, God lets us go. He releases us. So we make mistakes. So perhaps we fall and hurt ourselves. But our correct response to that should be like this son who said, I'm going to go back to my father and say, sorry. Repent. That's what he says. Father, I have sinned. And he prepares this speech. You know, I'm not worthy to be a son. Just make me a servant. But his heart is back to his father. And God lets us go so that we come back. And if we let our children, our sons and our daughters, we let them go as fathers, they will come back. Because a godly father is not only fair, but he releases his children as well. But then we see something else about a godly father in verse, actually it's the verse previous to what we've just read, verse 17. Because he's here now, this son is in the depths of despair. And as we've just touched on, you know, he would have gladly filled his stomach with what the pigs were eating. He says, but no one gave him anything. And he's right here at rock bottom. And verse 17 says this. It says, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You know, in the depths of despair, this young son's heart and mind and thoughts went out to home. And he thought of his father. And he says to him, he says, how many of my father's hired servants? He's not talking about the sons. He's not talking about when he's thinking about those that are in his father's employ, the paid servants. He says, how many of them have bread and enough to spare? He says, I'm sitting here with nothing. You know, what we see here about a father is we see that a father, a godly father, is provider. And God is our provider. Here we see the abundance of the father. Do you know, when the son was at home, he was never in want. Everything he needed was always supplied. And that's the way it is with God. What did the great hymn writer put it like this? All I have needed, thy hand hath supplied. Hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, God is provider. He's an abundant provider as well. He doesn't just say that's, you can just have that little bit. You know, God gives. God's a liberal, generous God. He emptied heaven of the very best he had for you and for me. He sent Jesus to be our Savior. Amen. Provision is always made for the family. Whatever is necessary is supplied and more. Why? Because that's the God we serve. And as fathers, we should provide for our children. You know, they should look at us and not in a idle sort of way, but they should look at us as they will know that if they have a problem, help will be provided at home. Now he's not, I've said this before and I'll just say it again, and he's not really in the position now to be able to do that, but I know that if it was in his power and I had a problem, I could call my father and he would do his best to supply the need and provide for me. Now he's, I don't know how old he is now, I've forgotten, 71. But he's, and he's not in that, doesn't really have that, in that position, financial position to be able to do that or anything like that. But he will always do his best for me and for any one of his five children. But God is provider, so should we. Then moving on, we've already touched on the fact that the son here says, I'm going to rise and go to my father. He's going to repent of his going astray. And he comes, he says, verse 20 says this. It says, so he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I like that. There's a statement in that verse which I really like. And it says this. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. Do you know one thing that's evident from this parable that Jesus taught, and we can apply it to God the Father? And it's this thought here, that God is waiting for his children. He's an ever-present God. He's always there. Even when we go astray from him, even when perhaps we turn our backs on him, when we stumble, when we fall into sin, when we even deliberate disobedience to him and say, no, I'm not going to do that, God. And believe me, there are times when we get to that stage. No, I don't want to go, God, like Jonah did. And we turn our back on him, even then, when we've rebelled. Even when we are a great way off, he still sees us and he's there for us. And all he's waiting for us to do is just one turn back to him. And he sees us afar off. He's waiting for us. Why? Because do you notice something about this father? He was there to pick up the pieces of his son's ruined life. Of the mistakes the son had made. Now he couldn't eradicate the mistakes. No, they were part of the boy's his history. His life, his makeup now. He'd made them. But the father was there to pick up the pieces and say, come on, son. Come home. An ever-present God. He was expecting the son to return. He released him and he was expecting him to come back. You know, we can be there for our children. You know, there's a great motto or saying, whatever it is, whatever you call it, and you will know it. You know, what children need most is our presence, not our presence. It's not our gifts. It's not what we can give them, like the latest gadget or this. It's our presence. That we are there with them. We are in their lives. And that's what God is. He's with us. You know, if God never gave me anything else, just the fact that he's my father would be enough to keep me. If he never ever supplied another need that I have, just the fact that he's my God, he's my father, would be enough. But he's not like that. Thank God. He does supply the need. Because he's fair. And he's just. But then something else about the son we see here in verse 20, it says this. It says, yes, the father saw him and he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He's compassionate. He's loving. So should we be. Even when our children don't do what we want them to do, we love them still the same. Unconditional love. You know, there's none of this, well, and this certainly isn't the case with God, and it shouldn't be with a godly parent. None of this, well, I told you that would happen. If you'd listen, now we might say it, we might think it, but if you'd listen to me, you wouldn't be in this mess. The father just loved him. He welcomed him back. He received him back. He embraces him. He hugs him. He kisses his son. You know this, and what I like about this, and you actually will see these in the next two verses about this father and about God the Father. You know, the boy begins to rehearse his statement that he's made. You know, he planned this when he was in the pig pen. He said, yeah, I'm going to go back to father, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say this. It got his speech well rehearsed. No doubt he was going over it all the way back on his journey. And the moment comes and he looks his father in the eye and he starts to say, father, he says, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. And the father stops him. He didn't get on to say about, you know, just make me one of your servants, which is what he had rehearsed. Why? Because we see God is forgiving. The father calls the servants and he says, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. You know, God is a forgiving God. He will forgive us He is faithful and just, the scripture tells us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, the love that this father had for his son looked beyond the faults. It looked beyond the mistake. It looked beyond all the issues that were going on in that boy's life. And he says, son, he says, I love you. In actual fact, he uses those words. In verse 24, he says, for this my son. This my son. He doesn't call him a servant. He doesn't call him, this is the one that left and deserted and caused me problems and hard. He said, this is my son. He forgave him. Yes, the son repented. The father forgave him. And do you notice something else about this? The issue of the boy leaving home is never mentioned. It's never mentioned. It's forgiven. The issue isn't mentioned anymore. Amen. What a good God we have. You know, God does not... I believe I need to say this morning. That God is not there waiting for... He doesn't remind you of when you went wrong. Did you hear? The Father is not reminding you of your past sins. He doesn't say to you, you did this on this day. I'll tell you where that's coming from. That's coming from the pits of hell. That's coming from your enemy. That's coming from the devil, who is the accuser of the brethren. Not from your father. Verses 22 and 23. Where the father, he tells the servants to bring the ring and put it on his hand. Put sandals on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. Let us eat and be merry. You know, the father takes pleasure in his son. He enjoys his son. Yes, his son may not have always lived up to his expectations, but he enjoys him. Yes, the son might have made a mistake, but the father enjoys him. And the father takes pleasure in his son by throwing a big party. Now, I'm not saying that a party is always necessary. But just to enjoy our children, to spend time with them. I don't know whether she will hear this, or she'll ever get to know it, or she knows, I think she knows this anyway, but some time ago, Joanna, we were talking about going to church, and we decided that we would go out after the service. Just, this is one of an evening service, we'd go out, just go and get a coffee. And Joanna said, I'll come. Now, you know, Joanna, if you're here, you know Joanna doesn't come to many services and you don't often see her, but she said, I'll come. And I said to Joanna, if it's just for the price of a cup of coffee, I'll get her to church. I'll just enjoy spending the money. But the father spent quality time with his son. And God spends quality time with us. You know, we can enjoy his presence. He celebrates all that is good about the family. Now, there's a lot wrong with families. I'm not trying to paint a perfect picture. You know, families aren't perfect. But he celebrates what's good. And he enjoys his children. But there was an issue going on in this parable. This was great for the young son. He's come back. He's been welcomed. He's been loved upon. He's been enjoyed. A party's being thrown for him. But we started off saying that the father was a fair father. And what we see here in verse 24, we see that this son is restored. He's a son, he's not a servant. That's what the son wanted. That's what he was thinking and planning. I can go back and be a servant. But the son here is restored in the family. He isn't classed as a servant, but as a son. Do you know, when we are born again, when we come to Jesus, do you know, can I tell you something? You are not classed in God's eyes as a sinner. You are a son. If any man is in Christ, he is an old man patched up. He is a new creation. A son, not a sinner. Do you know what? Don't lower your status in God. You are a son, a child of the living God. You're not, now don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. You are not a servant. You are a son that serves. You're not a sinner, you're a son. The sinner died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, and rose again a new person. A son. You're restored. You're not a prodigal. You're not second class. You're a son. Paul puts it like this. You're a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Quickly, two more to wrap this up. Because there's an older son in this picture. It's all been about the young son so far. And verse 28 tells us this. This young son, this elder son, he was angry and would not go in. He didn't want to be part of this party for his younger brother. He just saw the problems. He saw the issues. But one thing we see about the father says the father came out and pleaded with him. The father is a reconciler. The father reasons with the older son to bring everybody together. The father holds the family together. Brings healing and reconciliation. The father, the peacemaker. Now this may not sound like many fathers today, but this is Father God. The reconciler. The one who brings us together. The one who's holding it all together. The one who promotes peace. How much more should we be like that? Then lastly, we've touched on this already in part, but we see something in verse 31 and 32. He says, it's right, because it's fair, that we make merry. But look what he says in verse 31. He says, son, he says, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. All that I have is yours, he says. All that I have is yours. Now he wasn't going to pretend that half of what he had left still belonged to the younger son. Now the younger son had had his inheritance. Everything that he had belonged to the older son. Because he's fair. And not only is he fair, we see that the father is righteous. He wasn't going to take from what the elder son was rightfully due and give it to the younger son. He was righteous in all his dealings with both sons. He wasn't swayed by pressure from others to bend to their way of thinking. You know, that young son would have had him throwing the young boy out again. The father did what was right. Thank God we have a righteous father.
Amen.
We should be righteous. We should be the reconciler. The restorer. We should enjoy our children, spend time with them, forgive them, Be compassionate and loving. Be there for them. The provider. We should be fair. And if our children want to, you know, because they could be so adamant, we just release them and trust that God will keep them. Amen. Amen.
Let's give a hand to God. Thank you, my God. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Brother Peter. I thought I got my share. Thank you, young man.